The following podcast uses words like and also. If you're not into any of that shit, then now's your chance.
3, 2, 1.
Run.
Super familiar with the Wilsons.
Welcome to Super Familiar with the Wilsons. I'm Amanda.
I'm Josh. Amanda, I'm really struggling.
Why?
I told you that I hit an armadillo, right?
I know.
No, that's not.
You struggling because it wasn't really an armadillo?
No.
It was like a dog or a deer or like a minivan. I don't know.
No, it was an armadillo. But I'm really struggling because there's the absolute horror of hitting something with your car.
Oh,
you right?
know, it's the worst.
It's really awful. I've hit an armadillo now and a duck in my life.
Oh my God, that's awful. For some reason, a duck is worse.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
The duck was like many, many decades ago when I was a teenager and I was driving home and the duck flew in front of my car and went under and I ran over it. But I'm really struggling because there's the horror of hitting something with your car, right? It's a nightmare. But there's something that I didn't tell you.
Oh, no. What? So, is it stuck in your car? Because I'm not going to get it out.
No, this is the nature of my struggle, though. As I hit it, I looked back, and the armadillo was on its back, and it was spinning.
No, like the turtle shells
in
Mario.
It was spinning on its back. So I've never been so conflicted, hoping that it was okay and not injured and all this and that. And my God, I hit an armadillo. And then just like thinking, my God, that's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Because it was spinning like one of the characters in like, Super Mario.
It's the shell. It's the whatever shell that spins around. Oh my God, you're in real life Mario Kart.
And then the only other time I've struggled this hard was with that duck.
Yeah.
You ever seen the video of the Major League Baseball player Randy Johnson, the pitcher who hit a bird as it
Yes. Oh God.
So imagine that like times 10 because I saw the duck approaching from the side of my car. I couldn't do anything about it and it was too late and the duck went under the car. And I was like, my God, I hit a duck. I looked in my mirror and the most beautiful, the white feathers were coming down like a snowfall.
Oh, my God.
So again, I had this conflict like that's awful. Obviously, the duck didn't survive, but that's so beautiful.
Oh, no, this is bad. All the
listeners, get in touch. Let me know. Am I an evil person for almost like seeking permission to laugh at this armadillo?
I'm going to go with the fact that it was on its back. I'm hoping that its shell protected it and that it was able to flip over and get to safety. This is the story we're telling me today.
So do you think the armadillo was like, wee?
Yeah, you might as well make the best out of a bad situation.
Well, we got a big show for you today. Speaking of making the best out of a bad situation, we're going to keep going. We had some cool feedback from our show last week. I shouldn't even say last week. It was a couple days ago.
Yeah.
We're finally back on our schedule. Did you want to talk about the feedback that we got from Chef or former Chef Antonio regarding the bacon situation?
There's no feedback. I was right.
So set up the situation for those who didn't listen.
So we were talking about how when we were in New Orleans last week, the woman at the breakfast at the hotel had sent her bacon back 3 times and it was still not right. And I expressed, I don't understand how you can reheat bacon 3 times and it not be crispy. And you suggested that they were not actually reheating the bacon, that it was 3 different sets of slices of bacon. And I would like to say that I was right and you were wrong because our friend Antonio in your podcasting group chat responded to you and said, former chef here, we absolutely refry the same bacon over and over until they like it. And then he said words that I don't say on this podcast.
But I say them.
Yes.
And it makes sense. Why would they spend the extra money to refry, to fry again, new bacon or whatever?
It's not like they're saying this is too crispy, uncrisp it.
Yeah. He also made the comment, because I was talking about Henry Rollins kind of being a blowhard, and he said that comment that he made about you two having the worst rhythm section in rock and roll was kind of an old one, and that Henry Rollins has chilled out now that he's kind of zen. I find that hard to believe, but whatever. You know, it made for good content. I don't really care beyond that. Except to say my opinion has not changed. Do not shitpost. Do not just put opinions out there just to rabble rouse. You're just, that's rotten. Don't do that. Don't do it, and then don't do it. Don't do it.
So wait, is Henry Rollins zen like Andre 3000 is zen with his flute album?
Which I've not listened to yet.
I've heard
actually.
It's good, actually.
But you've not heard it.
No.
We can't speak of it. But I can't be bothered. America, what do you think of Andre 3000's flute album? And then while we're at it, let's find out, hey, America, what you thinking? That's right. We're going to see what America thinks through surveys about Valentine's Day.
Oh yeah, that's tomorrow. Or I guess this is releasing
today. It's today. Please do not mess with the illusion here.
Sorry, didn't mean to suspend the suspension of disbelief.
What do you think about Valentine's Day, you, Amanda Wilson?
I mean, I've never been a giant fan of it. It's, you know, it's not fun when you're alone. It also feels like a very made-up commercial holiday, which everybody says you should tell everybody you love them all the time, not just on Valentine's Day. But I mean, I mean, it's all, and I don't like pink and red together, so I'm a little bit grumpy about it. But I mean, I enjoy using it as an excuse to buy gifts for people.
Okay, so survey says, for many people, Valentine's Day isn't a particularly good or bad day. Most Americans say they enjoy it about as much as an average day, 53%. Which, by the way, a lot of people are expressing that their average days are pretty shitty these days, so I don't know what this is saying. 22% enjoy it less than other days, and just 17% more than other days. Now, get that. Only 17% of the people surveyed, and we're talking about 9,000 people, enjoy the day any more than an average day. That right there should tell your ass that we need to get rid of this quote-unquote okay. holiday, right? Younger people in relationships and self-described romantics, of course, are more likely than others to find the holiday particularly enjoyable. The survey also asks Americans to reflect on their experiences with Valentine's Day growing up.
Okay.
The vast majority of adults, 84%, say that when they were in elementary school or middle school, students regularly distributed cards, treats, or flowers for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
While slightly fewer adults under 30 say that their school celebrated, 70%, we find evidence that the practice remains widespread today. 72% of parents of elementary and middle school kids say Valentine's Day is celebrated at their child's school.
Well, you know this. You didn't need to go to the survey because we had to go buy the Hot Wheels
but
Valentine's.
But just wait. We're going a place.
And had to tape the Kit Kat
Please
to it.
Please don't jump out of the car. Go with me to this place.
Okay. Too much data. Go ahead.
While there is some debate over whether and how the holiday should be celebrated in schools, 73% of people believe it is appropriate for students to distribute cards, treats, etc. Just 11% say it's inappropriate. And so I ask you, Amanda Wilson, as both a former educator and a parent, should we hand out Valentine's Day cards at school? For elementary school.
Yeah, I think it's a perfectly fine practice. I do think you have to be equitable, though. And so teachers will buy their own supply of them. So if students don't have them to give, then you can provide that for them. But I think everybody needs the opportunity to be able to give something if they would like to and receive something. Also, when I was teaching, I used it as an opportunity we did Valentine validations. So we talked about saying things to people, you know, giving compliments, but in a way that was meaningful, like you're kind when you, or I appreciate how you do this or whatever. And so I think that is a meaningful sort of practice.
So if everyone gets a card and everyone is mandated to get a card, does that render the whole celebration meaningless?
Okay, you listen.
No, I'm asking.
It doesn't render it meaningless. No, I'm just saying because, God, you sound like our 7-year-old because he uses the same logic on me all the time.
I'm sorry. Has Winthrop asked you, is this holiday meaningless because everyone's getting a
card?
He
was upset because I called pollen an allergy, and he's freaked out about allergies because you and his sister have very significant food allergies. And so I said something about pollen being an allergy, and he freaked out because, like, I don't have allergies. I don't have allergies. And I said, well, it's different than the food allergy. And he said, well, are a lot of people allergic to it? And I said, most people have an issue with pollen. He said, well, then if most people are allergic to it, or all people are allergic to it, then it's not an allergy. So he was using your same, you know, if like all the people do it, then none of the people, whatever, this logic that you've used.
Well, the tenuous logic by which you've linked these two subjects.
No, I'm telling you, you exhaust me and your genes run strong. That's all I'm saying. Give the people a card. If you don't want your people to have a card, then just tell them, take it away when they get home and say, this is pointless and meaningless and you can't have it.
Are we just destroying the environment more by just having these stupid little cards that we're giving all of these students, something like, oh God, I don't even know, 7 million cards or something that are going out? Are we just not filling up the landfills needlessly with these cards?
They're recyclable.
Recyclable?
Mm-hmm.
Recyclable?
I know. Yes, I understand how to say the word.
You were trying to say reciprocal, and that's
no,
the problem.
No, I was trying to say recyclable, and I was being like cute about it, but I don't know why. You're making me very grumpy about this topic. I think the surveys make me grumpy.
Isn't it better to prepare our kids for the harsh reality of life because you know at some point, not everyone, why are you putting your head down? Listen to me. You know, at some point, there's going to be a day when not everyone gets Valentine's.
Right,
and then
yes,
they're not ready for that because they've been acclimated to think everyone gets a Valentine, everyone gets a participation award,
okay,
and they're not prepared.
God, you are such a grump. It is not a participation award if you're giving out things because you want to give to people and receive.
All right, listeners, what do you think? Hit us up at familiarwilsons@gmail.com and tell us, am I just being a grump?
Mm-hmm.
Or does Amanda just need to play nice and let's have this nice, deep philosophical discussion about cheap-ass little Valentine's cards?
No. No, that's not the answer.
Tells us it's game time. Amanda, you ready for game time?
I am.
Another survey that I saw
surveys.
The question was asked, do you plan to celebrate Mardi Gras or any events related to Fat Tuesday?
Yes, I did.
What do you think the breakdown between yes and no was? I'm
I
just
don't
curious
think,
of America.
I think it's very regional.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's the super high to the yeses.
So the no's were 79% and yeah, the yeses were 13%.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I guess maybe that surprised me.
That math does not work for me.
Well, then there's the I don't know crowd.
Oh, the unsure people. right. Yeah, I was so excited. I don't like it being this close to Valentine's Day, though, because I like to spread these holidays out. I was so excited. We had all of the beads from when we were in New Orleans. We had all, you know, like bags full of all the throws. I took all these beads to work as you did. And I got there and I was passing them out and I was supposed to be on a meeting and I walked by somebody who was on the Zoom. I'm like, tell them I'm coming. I'm passing out the beads. And so I was passing out the beads and I sat down and I had the beads. And a colleague who's also a friend was on the call and texted me and said, are you drunk already? It was like 10 in the morning. I'm like, no, I'm just really excited about Mardi Gras.
We usually have a Mardi Gras party, yeah, but we didn't do it this year.
No, because we actually went to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, right, and we have not financially recovered from that trip to be able to host people
at
this house.
Not. McDonald's for the next 3 weeks. Yes. Okay, folks, I have here for Amanda a Mardi Gras quiz. 10 questions, 10 answers. Will she get any of them right? I don't think so. Okay. So here we go. I tried to get a little bit of the obscure facts.
Okay.
So not like what does Mardi Gras mean?
The baby and the king cake mean?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So what does the baby and the king
cake? Baby and the king cake means that you then have to host the next Mardi Gras party.
Yeah, so for those of you who are not aware, the king cake is the traditional cake of Mardi Gras, and in it is a little plastic baby, Jesus, which to me, can you imagine, there's nothing worse than dying because you choked on Jesus.
God, that's just awful.
Okay, so here we go. 10 questions, 10 answers, 10 opportunities for you to show your knowledge. Ready? What is the traditional Mardi Gras parade route in Mobile, Alabama called?
Oh, so I don't know.
The history, of course, is that it originated in this country, in Mobile, not in New Orleans.
And we have been to the Mardi Gras Museum in Mobile.
We have.
I don't know what the name of the route's called, though.
Is it A, Mobile March, B, Bayou Boulevard, C, Route A1A, or D, Mystic Strip?
That's a good drag name. Well, it's not A1A, because A1A is Beachfront Avenue, and you being a Miami boy, that's where you got that. I don't think it's Bayou Boulevard, because that seems a little too whatever, but Mobile March I don't love. I'm going to go with Mobile March.
The correct answer is D.
No.
Mystic Strip.
No.
Yep, yep. The traditional parade route in Mobile is known as the Mystic Strip. It is where the oldest Mardi Gras celebration in the United States It has been held. It's where it originated. Whatever.
There you
go. Who cares? Ready? Next. So you got that one wrong. Let me put a big, big X there. You got that one wrong.
Got it.
That's a Z, not an X. Okay. What is the traditional name for the groups that organize Mardi Gras festivities in Mobile, Alabama?
Is it not Crews?
Is it A, Celebration Crews, B, Parade Planners, C, Mystic Societies, D, Festive Fellowship?
Oh, I bet it's Mystic Societies.
The answer is Mystic Societies.
I have a vague memory of this for Mobile.
Yep, yep, yep. So they are responsible for organizing and hosting Mardi Gras events, including parades, balls, and other festivities. And in New Orleans, they are called?
Crews.
Crews, that's right. What traditional Mardi Gras food is made from seasoned rice and meat wrapped in a cabbage leaf? I did not know this one. I never heard of this one before.
Oh, that's like a grape leaf. It's like, that's like a Greek food, but a cabbage leaf, I don't know.
Is it Creole cabbage rolls, Bayou bites, stuffed Mardi Gras cabbage, or cabbage jambalaya?
Whatever the first thing you said was.
Creole cabbage rolls is correct.
I didn't see any of these.
Made from seasoned rice and meat, typically ground beef or pork, wrapped in a cabbage leaf and cooked in a flavorful sauce.
All right.
What is the traditional Mardi Gras dessert in Mobile, Alabama? You should know this one.
It's not king cake.
It's not king cake, but you should know this one because we saw this in Mobile.
Oh.
Bourbon brownies, praline pie, moon pie, or southern sweets?
Moon pie.
Moon pie is correct.
I like a moon pie. Do you like moon pie?
These sweet treats consist of marshmallows sandwiched between two cookies dipped in chocolate. I think 2 grams, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I'd like that, actually. Have you ever had one?
Yeah, well, we had them at Canteen. So I worked at a camp that was just down the road from your camp in Black Mountain, North Carolina. In the Canteen, we had moon pies and RC Colas.
Oh, there
and they
you
were
go.
Quite a combination.
You were at the rich camp. I was at the poor boy camp. Okay. So there you go. What is the traditional name for the ceremonial king of Mardi Gras festivities? King Rex, Monarch of Merriment, Mardi Gras Majesty, or the Supreme Sovereign?
It's King Rex.
King Rex, also known as Rex, is the traditional masters of ceremony for Mardi Gras festivities in New Orleans. He presides over the Rex Parade and is a central figure in the carnival celebrations. Isn't that interesting? Next, what is the traditional Mardi Gras throw that symbolizes good luck and prosperity?
Beads?
Moon pies, doubloons, plastic crawfish, or bejeweled rubber ducks?
Oh, doubloons.
Doubloons is correct. Har. Metal coins often stamped with colorful designs and symbols that are thrown from floats. We didn't get any.
We didn't get
those.
Any doubloons. Catching, no, we did weirdly get caramel corn thrown at us.
Catching a doubloon is considered lucky.
Yeah.
All right.
It's because they don't have very many.
What is the traditional Mardi Gras beverage made from rum, lime juice, and fruit syrup?
Hurricane.
Hurricane is correct.
Do you like a hurricane?
I had a hurricane.
Yeah, but that hurricane just tasted like Kool-Aid.
Yeah, but I think that's the danger. That's why I don't like cocktails. I mean, I like cocktails, but they are the most dangerous thing on this planet because they all of them taste like a child's drink that you get from a sippy bag. And then all of a sudden you're in trouble.
Speaking of sippy bags, tell the people what you saw the lady sipping on at the parade.
I don't know.
You don't remember the lady drinking out of the IV bag?
Oh yeah, that I wish I'd have taken a picture. Okay, lady, she was a young woman, very drawn looking, very thin.
Well, because she clearly needed to amp up her blood supply.
Anemic, yes, something. This is not a part of the quiz, but I'm curious if you know this because I saw this today as I was going through these questions and trying to find things out. Do you know where the word carnival comes from?
No.
It's from Latin.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And if we think about where this whole like a Fat Tuesday and then leading into Lent, where it all comes from.
Like carnal nature?
Okay, no. Good guess though, but the idea it comes from carnaval or carnaval. I don't know how it's pronounced, but it's Latin, meaning literally farewell to meat.
Oh, okay.
Signifying the approaching
carne,
fast.
Carne, like meat. Yeah.
Carnival. Yeah. Carnival.
Yeah.
Farewell to meat. Didn't know that. Not our next question. What is the traditional term for the groups of revelers who gather along the parade routes during Mardi Gras? Are they party pals, carnival crews, Lagniappe locals, or neutral grounders?
Okay, I really don't know, but I also am not certain that the way you said that third word is correct. I think it has like a French pronunciation. I'll say that one.
The correct answer, thankfully, is D, the one I can say. Neutral grounders. In New Orleans, the term neutral grounders refers to the groups of people who gathered along the medians or neutral grounds at the parade routes during Mardi Gras.
Oh, interesting.
What is the traditional Mardi Gras costume worn by riders on horseback during parades called?
We saw lots of horseback riders.
We did, and they weren't wearing costumes. So I think that these are costumes that we didn't happen to see.
Oh, that I don't know. Because they were wearing just kind of like Western wear.
Is it called cowboy couture, equestrian elegance, Creole cavalier, or Mardi Gras masked rider?
I think it's going to be Creole cavalier.
You are correct. Creole cavalier costume is a traditional Mardi Gras costume worn by riders on horseback, typically including elaborate clothing and masks. See, they weren't wearing those. Yeah. And then lastly, what is the traditional Mardi Gras music genre characterized by its lively rhythms and call and response vocals? You better know this.
Zydeco.
Zydeco is correct. Zydeco is the traditional music genre that originated in Southwest Louisiana, featuring lively rhythms, accordion melodies, and call and response vocals, often sung in Creole French. And you, my little friend, got an amazing 9 out of 10 correct.
Oh, what did I get incorrect?
9? You got the... Oh, don't make me
scroll.
The Mystic
Way?
No, you got that right.
The Mystic Strip, no.
No, you got that right.
No, because I said I thought that was somebody's drag name.
All right, you got 8 out of 10 correct.
All right. But I still did well. I love Mardi Gras.
Yeah, you did very, very well. Very impressed. I would not probably have gotten all those. And now it's time for Refined Gay Thoughts from Refined Gay Jeff. Greetings, Wilsons. I send you happiness from Texas.
Hello, Jeff.
There's a lot going on this week. Mardi Gras is today.
Yay.
I'm giving away beads in my library if you check out a book.
I know. I loved that. I saw your picture. I sent you back a picture. Makes me happy. Mardi Gras buddies.
Check out more than one book. More beads. Ash Wednesday is tomorrow. We are having an Ash Wednesday service at church tomorrow night. My choir is singing 3 pieces, so I hope we're ready. Wednesday is also Valentine's Day, obviously. We've been trying to convince Laura, my fabulous minister, that since Ash Wednesday and Valentine's are on the same day, she needs to incorporate some glitter in the ashes tomorrow night on our foreheads. Now, this is very interesting, though. Valentine's Day is celebrating like love and relationships. And Ash Wednesday is kind of like a, you know, we're giving up things.
Are you giving up our relationship?
Well, I'm not celebrating Ash Wednesday, am I? I've made my choice. He continues, I totally agree that life is too short to eat anything bad, except Bad Bunny. That man is a total snack.
Okay.
Bad bacon, not worth it. Bad alcohol, no thank you. That shit gives me a headache. Mm-hmm. I have to admit, though, that I'm totally confused about your bad chocolate reference. Does this exist?
Yes, there is bad chocolate. It's American chocolate.
Oh, do tell.
The best chocolate is the UK chocolate. That chocolate is so good.
Is it the UK chocolate or is it just non-American chocolate? Because I would assume like there's... Like, what is it, Swiss chocolate also that's supposed to be
probably,
so good in all
but
this?
The Cadbury chocolate in the UK, it's just different. It's just so good. But even like the Kit Kats and things were just better. So I have a colleague and friend who grew up in Hershey, Pennsylvania and worked at Hershey Park. And she has told me that she also holds the opinion that the UK chocolate is much superior and that should I ever want to know what's actually going into the chocolate here, she'd be happy to tell me. But I don't need to know that.
I understand that there's certain parts per million of cockroach pieces that are allowed to be in chocolate.
I don't want to talk about that.
Rat hair.
There's also the like really waxy chocolate that you get around like the holidays.
Like Easter Bunny chocolate, which is the worst.
Easter Bunny chocolate, but they also do like the little Santas.
Same stuff.
Teachers give out because teachers don't make any money and they have to supply their own things. And so they have to buy like the bulk stuff. But yeah.
See, now I've never had UK chocolate, but I will tell you, compare the Easter Bunny shit that you get to like even Hershey's Kisses, Easter Bunny shit, bad chocolate.
Yeah.
That's true. Just bad chocolate. It like barely tastes like chocolate. It mostly tastes like wax. So Jeff, there is your answer. Although he continues, maybe in a universe that is not our own, but I don't think I've ever had an experience with bad chocolate before. Well, that one time when the melted chocolate was too hot and my nipples were too sensitive, but I digress.
Thank you. Hey.
He goes on, you hit the nail on the head when you say that music is subjective. Yes, it really is. And I'm trying to figure out what Henry Rollins meant by rhythm section. Well, let me tell you. Do you know what rhythm section means in the context of a rock band?
I assume it's your drummer with the drum kit. And who else?
Drum and bass and sometimes rhythm guitar, but mostly rhythm section means drum and bass. Okay. So there you go, Jeffrey. There's my help to you. But he says, I will tell you two rhythm sections that have always stood out for me if our definitions are the same. I don't think that they are, but we will continue on. Nonetheless, he says, the first is Miami Sound Machine. OMG, Gloria Estefan can do no wrong. I was addicted to them in the 80s, clearly one of my all-time band faves. The other band that totally stands out in my mind is Early Chicago before Peter Cetera became the frontman. See, I'm not familiar with Early Chicago. That brass section quickly became legend in the early 70s, and so many of my core memories of summer at the pool at the country club involved this band. Okay, let's unpack the pool at the country club. Sounds like a Caddyshack or something. They are probably my ultimate all-time favorite band. I used to love me some Hootie and the Blowfish. Of course, they are from South Carolina, so there's a huge following there. And of course, Jeff is from South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Amanda, I think the Ace of Base song, All That She Wants, a song describing a sexually promiscuous woman, baby is a synonym for boyfriend.
Okay, there you go. I like that better than she's trying to take people's babies.
We used to have words to describe people like that when I was an innocent Southern Baptist neophyte growing up in ultra small town South Carolina.
At the country club pool.
But when my gayness arrived and made itself known, I simply called those people my bestie.
There you go.
All right, here he goes. This is what I was waiting for. He says, this week's gay label continuum includes Cubs, Chubs, and Bulls.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Cubs, Chubs, and or Bulls?
I'm aware of Cubs. I could make a guess about the other two, but please enlighten me.
All right, well, what do you think Cubs are?
I mean, cubs are like they're the smaller version of the bears.
Okay. So he says cub is used to describe a younger or younger looking male that is usually husky or heavier in body type and almost always hairy. So like I'm gathering that bears, whether cubs or bears, are always husky and always hairy.
Yeah.
So there you go. Many cubs have a beard, but the main feature is body hair and huskiness. They're sometimes partnered with bears in passive relationships or with other cubs, and they can sometimes be considered an apprentice to a bear. Of course, muscle cubs can be a subtype as well.
An apprentice?
Apprentice, yes.
We're learning the ways of the bear?
My young Padawan, yes.
Okay.
Chubs are a distinct subgroup and often confused with bears. Many bears do not consider extremely large or obese chubs as part of their subgroup. They do have their own events, however, such as Mr. Chub International.
Oh.
Extremely large chubs can be referred to as super chubs. I listened to Super Chubs in the 70s. It was a rock band. Along with chubs, there is a group of queer men called chasers. They are attracted physically and romantically to chubs and typically smaller than cubs. What's smaller than a cub?
Well, no, but cubs are husky. They're just younger.
Okay. And then there are bulls. Can you guess what bulls
are?
Well,
first of all, I need to go back to the chasers because I need some sort of race or tag game where they're actually... So when the chubs get together for their conventions, I need the chasers to be there. And then it's like the running of the bulls where they just chase after them.
No, bulls are different. And number two, this all needs to be consensual. Bulls are bodybuilders that weigh between 200 and 300 pounds and maybe more. I personally know a bull that's over 400 pounds and he is all muscle. How can you be 400 pounds of muscle?
That's a lot of muscle.
That's like two of me, except muscular. It's not anything like two of me, is it?
I was just waiting for that to kick in.
They usually herd together with more of their kind. Just be aware that there may be lots of testosterone flowing.
Yeah, like, oh, God.
He goes on, Amanda, you're right. I've never had a boy Chinese crested before, so this will possibly be new. I got Hazel mid-pandemic, so I've not really had a time to socialize her fully. Of course, Jeff is talking about his dog and then this new dog he's going to get.
Possibly get. He would like us to caveat that.
Oh, okay. She's been around my parents' Yorkie for a few days here in Houston, South Carolina. And a few weeks ago, we went to our first dog park to introduce her to other dogs. By the end of our time there, she was running around playing with some of them. But that is something we need to work harder on for socialization skills. The only thing I'm concerned with is that Johnny, who's the new dog, is still very much a sexually active male.
Oh, yeah.
And even though Hazel's been spayed, male dogs still like to try.
Mm-hmm.
My friend that I'm possibly getting him from is the same person I got Busy and Hazel from. Johnny needed extreme dental work. I think this is the reason for the rescue from Phoenix, Arizona. He had a vet appointment yesterday, and they had to do 8 extractions.
Oh, baby.
Oh, do you get little dog dentures? How many teeth do dogs have? There are dogs right there. Count his teeth. I want to know how many teeth dogs
count
have.
Count him. He bit you earlier. You
yeah,
should
he
count
did.
His teeth while
Dad
he's biting
nabbit.
You.
Maybe we should. No, never mind. As of last night, he is recovering nicely. My friend will keep me informed on his progress. She also wants to be able to use him for breeding a couple more times. Mm. He's special because he had the same father as Busy, which is Jeff's former dog. And her mother is Busy's mother's daughter. So whatever relation that is to Busy, he already feels like part of my family.
Yeah.
It may be a couple of weeks before anything happens. But Michelle, my friend who has him, said we can do a trial run for a week or two. That's all from the land of glitter ashes this week. Hope your week will be everything you need it to be. Talk later.
Bye, Jeff.
Bye, Jeff. We got another letter, though. We got a letter from Leo.
Letters from Leo.
Leo says this. He says, hey, Wilsons, wow, that Rolling Stones list was absolutely stupid.
Agreed.
So we talked last week about a Rolling Stone readers poll of worst bands of the 90s, and it was the absolute dreck, this list, the dumbest list. How can bands, he says, be listed as worst while at the same time being hugely successful and popular.
Like Nirvana.
This is my point. Yes. What a dumb... This reinforces the fact that people don't know anything.
Yeah.
Right? People get together like, oh, we're going to vote in a poll. And you have a person goofing like, I'm going to vote for Nirvana, which is whatever. But then when everyone's like, oh, I'm going to vote for Nirvana, then you've made this list.
Mm-hmm.
And people think it's serious when it's just stupid. He says, I'll bet if you checked Rolling Stone during the time of the height of each band's popularity, I'm sure you'd find rave reviews and interviews. If anything, and this is a good point Leo might have, this list would have been better titled Top 10 Oversaturated Bands of the 90s or Top 10 Played Out Bands of the 90s.
That's a fair point.
Now, I don't know if it's a fair point because some of them weren't, but...
But a lot of them were.
So what is this thing that, what is it, tall poppy syndrome? You've heard of this?
Yes.
Like the tendency when someone is up and mm-hmm. getting notoriety or whatever, to cut them down to the size of the rest of the herd, right?
Mm-hmm.
It, you know, we can't stand it when people excel. We feel bitter and upset. And you know, there's just also being overexposed to something. You get sick of it.
Yeah.
How many times have you like binged a band or a show? Because I know I've done that where I'll go periods of time where I'll listen to nothing but like an album or sometimes even a song. I'll be really into a song. And then I just reach a point where I never want to hear it again.
I don't know that I've done that with music, but one summer I watched Dirty Dancing 80 times during the summer, which equals like twice a day during the summer. I can't watch it again. And that was like probably when I was like 14. I can't watch it ever again.
But that doesn't mean, well, this is a bad example because that movie sucked. But
it did not. I watched it 80 times. Yeah,
okay, but you were 14.
Did you see it?
I've,
no, you can't say I saw the dancing scene where he lifts her up. No. Have you seen the movie?
Probably. I don't remember. Not my point. My point is that we can get oversaturated, and then to us, we're sick of it. But there's, I guess, this thing about human nature then needing everyone else to be sick of it as well.
I don't need people to not like Dirty Dancing.
No, I'm just talking about these bands here.
For okay.
Your Dirty Dancing example screwed up this whole segment. What can I say?
Okay. That's what I'm here for.
Leo goes on. This got me thinking, though. Is Rolling Stone even still relevant? I don't know.
I wondered that, too.
I often forget they still exist, even though back in the day I used to read it heavily, but it seems to me that of the big old school juggernaut music magazines, only Billboard remains relevant, if only for their charts, which everyone seems to agree are the go-to for artist rankings.
Yeah.
And then he continues on, as for reality shows, I have to agree with Jeff, I've never been a fan, save for the original Real World on NTV. Season one remains the quintessential starting point of all reality TV. I was really into it back then because it was new and original, and I stuck with it up until about season three or four. But today's reality TV just doesn't do it for me. In fact, I think that the term is actually being misused. These new shows aren't reality at all. They're game shows, and none of the games interest me at all, especially any that have to do with being cruel or mean to others. Simply not my cup of tea. And he ends with, take care, stay safe, and remember to always drink from the side of the wine glass closest to you.
Oh, well, yes, of course. Otherwise, you're just wearing wine and nobody wants to do that.
No.
I agree. I don't think that they're reality. I think they are very contrived.
And damaging, I think, to the contestants and probably to society at large. So fuck them.
Okay, good.
All right. Thank you, Leo. If anyone else wants to send us their thoughts, familiarwilsons@gmail.com.
No one likes to be told what to do.
And this is the time in the program where we tell you what to do. Amanda, what should we do?
I recommend that you appreciate all of your modern conveniences and the things that we have invented to make life easier, and acknowledge that not everybody has these, but our dishwasher has been out for 2 weeks. I'm getting a new dishwasher for Valentine's Day. I'm not that's what Josh is giving me for Valentine's Day. It's just coming near Valentine's Day. And I could not be more happy.
I'm going to stop you right there it's what I'm getting you for Valentine's Day.
Okay. I could not be more happy about this thing. I don't know if this is middle age, if this is adulthood. It has a third rack. So you put your utensils on. We got it on a President's Day sale. We got it at Best Buy, which means you can do the 12-month financing and with no interest. And this is not what you're getting because you got me my Valentine's present on an installment plan. I do not think so, sir. I am just so excited. I was telling the 17-year-old that the dishwasher was my Valentine. And she said, Valentine present. I said, no, it is my Valentine. The dishwasher is my Valentine. And she said, Mom, are you cheating on Josh with the dishwasher? I was like, yeah, absolutely. I love it. It is with my whole heart. I'm so excited.
If I come downstairs in the middle of the night and there's some business between you and Mr. Third Rack, we're going to have real, real discussions.
So excited about my new dishwasher. But appreciate the modern conveniences that the Industrial Revolution has brought us.
All right, Amanda, that's all there is. There is no more. What'd you think about all that?
Well, I don't know. I feel like I got frustrated a lot, but I did well at the Mardi Gras quiz, so that's good.
I think is that the closest we've come to like arguing or fighting on this podcast?
I don't know why I felt so strongly about it, but I did.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was kind of going at you, so I apologize.
All right, thank
no,
you.
I don't.
happy Valentine's Day, friends.
Now, for those of you who listened last week and you heard me announce that, or not last week, but last episode, and you heard me announce that we were going to talk to Jeremy Birdsall, the gentleman who has written music for ESPN, we went to record with him last night and his power was out.
Storms in the area.
So we are going to record with him tomorrow night, I think, and we'll have him next week. So we're looking forward to that. So until next week, folks, enjoy your modern conveniences. Enjoy Valentine's Day. Look back fondly on Mardi Gras. And if you send your kid to school with Valentine's, just know that you're feeding into a system that cripples kids emotionally.
Oh my God. It
keeps them from developing resilience and just gives money to the big card companies. So,
or it's not as big a deal as Josh is making it. And if you you can send digital Valentines if you want to reduce your carbon footprint. That's fine too.
Can you imagine elementary kids sending digital Valentines?
Your teacher, ridiculous. It's my QR code that I need you to put. That's it. You just print one QR code, put it up in the classroom, be like, scan that. There's your Valentine.
All right, folks, until next week, take it easy.
Go be kind. Thank you.